Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us this week. On today's podcast, we'll talk with Ken Elliott, president of IND Hemp in the great state of Montana. We'll hear from Ken about the issues Montana farmers have faced this year with their CBD and grain crops, and how his organization is helping to promote hemp and the farmers that grow it in the mountain states. We'll also hear from Midwest Hemp Council Administrative Manager Michelle Linus, who'll talk about the Midwest Hemp Council's appearance at the upcoming FFA convention, October 30th through November 1st in downtown Indy, as well as the Hemp Industries Association convention in November in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Hemp at the Crossroads Exposition at the Marriott East in Indianapolis on November 16th and 17th. But first, on a more somber note, we at the Midwest Hemp Council would like to recognize a tragedy this week when 43-year-old Anthony Etchison, a Hamilton County farmer, was killed while working in the fields. It's a hazard that our farmers deal with every day, yet despite the risk of life and limb, they continue to do it, which is just another reason why our farmers should be held in such high esteem. Without farmers risking their lives and livelihoods with heavy machinery and financial instability year in and year out, this country would not be as great as it is. We send our condolences to the Etchison family and the extended family of farmers that were touched by his death, and we hope only the best for our farming family in Indiana, as well as the entire country. And now we continue to look ahead, and as promised, we take a look at Montana hemp with IND Hemp President Ken Elliott. Ken, thanks for joining us, and how are things in Montana today?
Jason, it's beautiful out here today. It's not snowing, and I think the sun's going to shine. We'll be in the 40-degree range today, so it's a beautiful day for a fall day in Montana.
Excellent, excellent. When do you expect the snow to start coming in up there?
Well, 3 weeks ago, we had plenty of snow here, so anytime now. we've had snow. It's been cold.
So it's already broke. Now, you still have hemp crops out there growing right now. How is the snow affecting that?
Well, you know, we still have hemp crops in the field. It dropped down to about 8 degrees here as well. So the plants themselves have died off, and we're mainly focused, IND Hemp is mainly focused on the grain aspect of raising hemp. So our crops do really well. They just stand out in the field like other grain crops until you harvest them. We've also got a lot of folks here in the state who are doing CBDs, and that doesn't do as well. And so that's kind of the learning process we're all going through right now. So not so bad for the grain guys, not so good for the CBD guys.
I see. And again, we're speaking with Ken Elliott. Ken is the president of IND Hemp, and you can find their website at indhemp.com. So go check that out. A lot of great information on there. I was perusing that in the last couple of days, and a lot of good information for farmers. Now, let's talk about the licensing there in Montana. Indiana limited their licensing to around 100 for outdoor growers. Montana, I understand, has a lot more licenses out there.
Yeah, you know what, Jason, the Department of Agriculture here has been just fantastic to work with. Our director, Ben Thomas, and his attorney, Cord Jensen, Andy Gray, have been fantastic. The state wants hemp farmers to be successful. And so they've opened it up, and I think this year we've had several hundred applicants who have raised hemp, either the CBD variety or grain. I think we've got over 51,000 acres of hemp planted, so we've got hundreds and hundreds of farmers, maybe over 1,000. To be honest with you, I can't tell you, but anyway, it's something that's promoted by the state and supported by the state, and hemp in Montana is going well.
We have talked before this interview, and you talked about the difference in the soil between the Midwest and up there in the mountain states of Montana. You sent me a photo yesterday, and it looked something like you would get off the lunar landing. I mean, it looked like a rocky plain out there. Can you talk about the difference in the soils between Indiana, for instance, and Montana?
You bet. And I grew up in Iowa on a farm, so I can appreciate how the soils are out there, how fertile they are. Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, the Midwest states, the soil there is just beautiful, raises anything. But the price of soil out there is awfully expensive. Contrasted with Montana, we have the picture of the field I showed you was a wheat field, and it completely covered with rocks from glacier activities over the last millennials. And we have got marginal soils at best. I'm sure this soil would not be planted if it was in the Midwest, but this is the soil we got. But we don't pay a lot for our soil. You know, I think you can buy an acre of land out here for $500, maybe average $1,000. Maybe irrigated might be $3,000, $3,500. So when we looked at raising hemp in Montana, we looked at the economics. What's the carrying cost of raising hemp? How much money do you have to make to support all your costs of production, and including the cost of your land? And that's where it really makes sense for Montana farmers. We just don't have that high carrying cost of land. Our productivity, our yields are probably not as good as what you'll see in the Midwest, but they don't need to be as good because we just don't have that big land value cost.
Well, obviously, just a massive amount of interest in growing hemp there in Montana. As you said, hundreds of licenses out there, a lot of acres being planted. With the 2018 Farm Bill, that opened the door to be able to do that. Did folks, were they already, looking to do this before that Farm Bill passed and just couldn't wait to get out of the blocks? Or was this something that most of them did not consider until after the fact?
You know, there was a lot of interest prior to 2018. I got involved with this in 2014. Lots of interest at that point. A lot of skepticism also. Mm-hmm. So when the 2018 Farm Bill came, farmers jumped in. We've got farms out here in the thousands of acres. And so when we started talking to farmers about trying to raise some hemp to get a feel for that, because the farmers out here, we have essentially a monoculture out here with wheat. We do have some lentils and chickpeas and some pulse crops and beets. We've got some other things, but primarily we're a wheat state. And wheat has just taken a beating, probably similar to corn and soybeans. And so our farmers were interested in trying something different, just I'm sure similar to what your farmers in Illinois or in Indiana are looking at. But we're able to get farmers to commit to doing a couple hundred acres, 500 acres as a test pilot plant. So a pilot project. And so we've got a lot of acres that we can start practicing with, which because of the value of the land, farmers are more likely to work with us and participate on a 500 acre scale as opposed to a 50 acre scale. And I think that's what's helped Montana a lot.
And is that paying off for these farmers this year?
You know, we're hopeful. You know, it's a little early. I know the CBD guys, not only here in Montana, but across the country, are having some troubles. We had some weather issues here. I know there's a lot of moisture issues in the Midwest, but they're growing pains. And I think there was probably a lot of enthusiasm for the CBD markets this last year. And I'm not sure that's going to be realized by everybody. But yeah, a lot of enthusiasm for getting involved. Our farmers who are dealing with this from a grain perspective, I think they're going to make money. They're not going to make anywhere near the kind of money that the CBD guys made, but I think they're going to make more than what the wheat farmers made. And I think next year we'll have more farmers participating with us.
And Ken, when it comes to hemp, you talk about the CBD market there. It seems you at indhemp.com, you folks are focused mostly on the grain side of things. Your website claims that from an agricultural perspective, growing hemp varieties that are bred specifically for grain are the most logical choice for Montana farmers. And why is that?
You know, when we took a look at this early on, getting into CBDs or getting involved with grain, you know, we looked at how our farmers could compete with people who've got a 5-acre parcel in Missouri or Illinois or Indiana. And we're no different, except maybe our weather is a little different here. You know, we can have snow in May and we can have snow in September. So from a CBD standpoint, we don't really compete very well mm-hmm. with the other states. We don't have a decided advantage over the other states. We've got a lot of good CBD farmers in this state, but where we really do have an advantage is we've got acres and acres and acres. We have millions of acres up here, and that made good sense from the grain aspect. And then we took a look at the fiber opportunities, and everybody's interested in bioplastics and biodiesel and all these other things. And we thought, you know, if any of that stuff is ever going to come to pass, we've got to have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of acres available to do that, mm-hmm. which we don't have that in Illinois and Indiana and other places in the United States. So Montana made good sense for us anyway to look at the grain. And there's plenty of good, smart people around the country trying to figure out the CBD business. And so let those folks do that, and we'll focus on grain for a while.
Now, you're in Fort Benton, Montana. Right now, you're at the tail end of designing, installing, and commissioning a pilot-scale facility there in Fort Benton to process your seed this year. How is that facility coming along?
You know, it's coming along great. We've got contracts with farmers, and so we're committed to processing and buying their grain. We should be done, hopefully, and up and running, hopefully by the end of this year, December or first part of January, and start receiving the grain. The farmers have already started to harvest the grain. They got the grain in the bins, and they're waiting to bring it here and have us cut them a check. So we're eager to get that going.
Oh, it's always great to get a check. Is that their only option for growers to bring it to you guys? Do they have other options?
You know, I'm sure there are. There's other folks out there. There's not a whole lot of seed oil processing facilities in the country. Mm-hmm. Roger Gouches has got a great one over in North Dakota. There's another one in Oregon and a couple down in Colorado. I think there's one in Kentucky. So, you know, there's a few of them out there. But for Montana farmers, if you're going to have to incur that cost of transporting your grain someplace, our facility probably looks reasonable.
Mm-hmm. And the subsidiary there that you're working with, IH Oil Seeds, that's your licensed and bonded through the Montana State Department of Agriculture as a legal commodities dealer. So with that construction, again, that'll obviously give farmers a place to go and give them a more positive feeling about getting out there and taking the risk with this hemp.
We think so. You know, farmers here in Montana are like farmers everywhere else. They're pretty smart. And they're doing everything they can to figure this thing out, this thing being trying to raise a family on a farm. And so they're working with us. I've had a license with the state the last two or three years, and lots of interest all over the state. In fact, we're dealing with some farmers outside the state. So I think our farmers are willing, and they're more than capable. And so as we work on developing downstream markets and opportunities, we're working with our farmers on the upstream side to figure out what's going to take in the state of Montana to raise a crop.
And you mentioned the surrounding states. Obviously, this is no race to be better than anyone else, but how is Montana comparing to the surrounding states, and are you actually helping those surrounding states?
You know, we'd like to, we're full-time busy trying to get our stuff going, but we're big fan of, you know, getting more businesses in the state. You know, I do think there's another facility being built in Sydney and Glendive area, kind of in the southeast part of the state. And with more processing, we're hopeful that'll create more opportunities for farmers and put more farmers in the field planting hemp. So we're big advocates of other industries, other companies doing this. We do whatever we can to get more processing similar to ours, fiber industry, whatever. Big advocates of more of that happening out here or anywhere.
And one interesting thing you have out there, Ken, we're speaking with Ken Elliott, president of IND Hemp, and you can find them at indhemp.com. Now, you've teamed up with a group of software engineers to create an app, and this is just for farmers, designed to track important agronomic data, such as seed variety, seeding rates, equipment use, just all kinds of interesting information. That's very neat. I'm very intrigued by this. I have not seen the app yet. I'd love to get a hold of it and check it out. But is that actually out there available for the farmers right now? And how does that work, and how is that helping them?
You bet. We've got three agronomists working with us, and we put together an app. And we meet with our farmers, the ones that are under contract with us, or anybody else who wants to show up for that matter, and explain to them in the winter how you plan on planting your crops in the spring. And then in midsummer, we meet again and go through how you harvest this material, not only how you harvest it, but how do you manage and store it and that sort of thing come fall. And then we give them an app that says, hey, start tracking these things for us so that collectively 20, 40, 50 farmers, whoever we got working with us, let us know when you planted this stuff. You know, we recommend plant to a depth of about a half an inch. Plant when the soil temperature is about 50 degrees. Tell us what kind of soils you're planting into. Let us know what kind of moisture you planted into or followed up with. And tell us what kind of nitrogen applications you're doing, if you're organic or if you're conventional. And then we are, hopefully, our intent is to sit down with our farmers, show them what worked and what didn't work. And so that next year we can all take advantage of what we've learned through this first year. And so hopefully next year, the farmers have struggled, if they struggled, to find out that, hey, this works better in a loamy soil, or maybe it works better in a clay type soil. So so anyway, it's a great app. I think it's going to make make our farmers, or hopefully Montana farmers or Kentucky farmers, whoever would like to use the app, a little bit smarter. And if, like I said, if we can get some smart farmers out there while we're creating some of these markets downstream, hopefully we'll grow into our markets at some point.
And what kind of participation are you having with the app?
You know, all of our farmers, we put it to them this way. If you're going to work with us, you're going to use the app. If you choose not to use the app, then good luck. Because I think it's important that we all share our collective understanding of what works and what doesn't work. You know, we've got some really smart farmers. We've got some good agronomists working with us. And, you know, we've got some folks who have raised wheat for a long time. And hemp ain't wheat. So they're learning those lessons.
they certainly are. Now, you mentioned, you were talking there, you mentioned Kentucky. Is this app available for outside Montana, or is this all dialed in for the state of Montana?
You know, right now we're just handing out that app to the folks that show up at our meeting and show them how to use it and that sort of thing. So I'm sure it could be. Mm-hmm. That being said, that's something my daughter actually runs. And yeah, we could, you know, I could ask her, or we can follow up on that sort of thing. I'll be honest with you. She works with that's kind of the end of the spectrum that she works on.
Sure. Gotcha. Well, that's very intriguing. I'd certainly like to look into that and see if that's something we can get for our Indiana farmers out here. So something to look at for expansion there. Again, we're speaking with Ken Elliott, president of indhemp.com. Well, how'd you come up with the name IND? Obviously, that's the acronym for Indiana, but that certainly should have had nothing to do with this. But how did you come up with that name?
You know, when we started this, hemp had, everybody thought hemp was marijuana related. And this is, 4 years ago, we came up with this thing. And so we wanted to differentiate ourselves and make sure everybody understood we're talking about industrial hemp. Mm-hmm. And today, maybe it doesn't apply as much, but from our standpoint, we're an industrial hemp company, and not to be confused with marijuana, recreational or otherwise.
Now, Ken, for folks that might be listening to this thinking, wow, I've never been to Montana, or I have been there, and, it's a beautiful country up there, they can actually go out and pick up a job. You guys have some jobs available out there, and these aren't minimum wage jobs. You're looking for labor positions, operators, lead operators, up to $25 an hour. I assume that's folks with some experience. But are those positions still available? Can people come out there and pick up a job if they want to move out to the great mountain states?
Absolutely. Bring them out here. Montana is a great state. It's a huge state. Takes 12 hours to drive across it. And
wow.
And very, very diverse. You got the mountains in the west, and you got the Great Plains in the east, and everything in between. So we're hiring folks, and we'd like to make sure that this company is raised up in such a way it's more of a family related type company. We care about our employees. We want our employees to care about us. And so I think we're going to pay them well. We're going to provide them health insurance and benefits, and try to do this right.
And just another signal of how great hemp is going to be for the economy in the United States. I mean, right there, we're talking about jobs that were not available as of 2 years ago.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
All right. Once again, Ken Elliott, president of IND Hemp. And again, you can find them and these job listings available at indhemp.com. We encourage you to go there and check that out and just get kind of a different perspective of what's going on with hemp around the country. And Ken, is there anything else that we need to hit on about hemp there in the Montana area?
You know, one of the things we've really focused with on our farmers and tried to work with other farmers around the country, and there's a lot of enthusiasm, obviously, for hemp, CBD or otherwise. And what we try to tell people that we're not necessarily trying to raise up a crop of hemp this year or next year. What's more important that we raise up a crop of hemp farmers, because our farmers, once they understand how to raise 500 acres of hemp, can then get into 5,000 acres or 50,000 acres someday as the industry, the hemp industry improves, as the markets develop. You know, we're interested in creating smart farmers who can raise up enough hemp to support the markets that we're confident are coming. Because we recognize it's difficult for downstream markets to plan on so much fiber or so much oil or so much protein if they don't if they're not confident in our farming base. So we're trying to develop that farming base here. And as the markets develop, we're going to continue to create more acres of hemp. And I think that's probably a better plan for us anyway, as opposed to just turning the farmers loose and planning into markets that they're not sure of.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Once again, Ken Elliott, president of IND Hemp at indhemp.com. Ken, it's been a great conversation, and we hope to have you back sometime soon and get some updates from Montana.
Excellent. Hey, thank you, Jason. And are you going to be at the crossroads?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll see you there.
Absolutely. Now, are you going to be there as a participant? Are you going to speak? Do we get to grab some of that knowledge out of you?
I'm just hoping to make it. We got a real busy schedule. So, and Jamie has talked to me about that in the past. I hate to commit because I'd hate to not make it, but I sure hope I can make it and be with you all then.
Excellent. Look forward to talking to you and shaking your hand, Ken.
Excellent, Jason. Well, thank you much.
All right. Thanks so much, Ken. And now we turn our attention to Midwest Hemp Council Administrative Manager Michelle Linus, and we'll be talking about some of the upcoming hemp education and promotional opportunities. Michelle, great to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me back.
And when we have you, it's always fun because we always talk about a lot of great things coming up. And we do have some great things coming up here. The Hemp at the Crossroads Convention coming up on November 16th and 17th. We're going to hold that for last because before that, we've got the FFA convention. It's always a great time with the Future Farmers of America, and that's coming to downtown Indy October 30th through November 2nd, and the Midwest Hemp Council will have a presence there.
We will. So this is technically our third year with the national convention being a presence for hemp, which is really exciting because that shows that stigmas are breaking and there's actually a future of hemp farming, right? I mean, we're looking at high school students and middle school students, and that's really cool. And these kids are so bright. It's a great weekend because it kind of opens your eyes and makes you feel a little bit better about the future of society, right?
You know, I was just going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth when you talked about these kids being bright, because in the day and age of millennials, where we're always making fun of millennials, and for good reason, I might add, these Future Farmer of America kids, they're always more down to earth, and it gives you faith in humanity, and at least the faith in the agricultural business moving ahead.
Oh, it absolutely does. And then aside from that, I mean, they're courteous and they're just really great kids. And it's really eye opening. But yeah, we'll be there. This is the third time that we'll be in attendance, which is again is extremely exciting. Mm-hmm. We'll be at booth number 1372. And I also wanted to add too, which was a really exciting development in the last week. We had a group of students who are coming in from Iowa. Of course, there'll be people coming in from all over the globe. But we had a group reach out that actually wants to farm or tour a field. They like to tour a field and potentially a processing center. So that's really exciting too, that teachers are reaching out and wanting to expand their students' horizon.
Now, when we spend so much of our time talking with farmers and adults about hemp and when the prospects of it, of course, they're always interested and they listen intently. When you talk to these Future Farmer of America kids, what kind of response do you get from them?
It's not so much a response as it is just they're eager for education, right? They, I think the interesting thing is they're not really focused on the stigma around hemp, and its cousins. So that's really hopeful, right? I mean, they're actually looking at this from an agricultural perspective, versus a bunch of high school kids giggling. Right. So that's really promising. And that's a good thing too, because a lot of these kids are really innovative, and they've got really bright ideas, and they want to make a difference, and they're seeing something that they can make a difference with.
All right. And again, that's the FFA convention, October 30th through November 2nd. And then moving along November 1st through the 4th, the HIA, which is the Hemp Industries Association convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Midwest Hemp Council will also be representing there.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's a 4-day event, which is pretty overwhelming, but it's one of the best opportunities for people to network. This brings in industry leaders and advocates from all over the nation, I would assume from the globe. It's a really big deal. And this year, I do believe there are some nominations for a few of our advocates, more specifically Jamie. So we're hoping, crossing our fingers, that she finally gets the accolades that she deserves. So if any of you are members of HIA, please, please, please get over there and vote, 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 vote. We need to show the stronghold in Indiana and boost ourselves a little bit as well.
Well, I think Jamie's well-known all across the country. We just had Ken Elliott on the program, and of course, he immediately mentioned Jamie. You know, she seems to touch everybody in the hemp industry all across this country, so certainly she should be recognized, and we hope that she will.
Yeah, she absolutely does. And I think that's another thing, too, to touch on real quick. Like, one great thing about Jamie and why she is such a admired leader is because she would never desire or admit that she deserves those accolades, right? But the rest of us as our team know that she's over-deserved and under-recognized. So we're hoping. Go out and vote, please.
There we go. Absolutely. And where can they vote?
I believe it's through the HIA system. So if you are a member, you should be able to log into your membership site somehow. And I believe in there you will have the capability to vote as an HIA member.
Okay. And again, that's the Hemp Industries Association convention. That's November 1st through the 4th in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we'll get an update from you after that, as well as the Future Farmers Convention, well, the FFA convention coming to downtown Indianapolis, October 30th through the 1st. Now, let's talk about the granddaddy here coming to Indianapolis, the Hemp at the Crossroads Convention. That's November 16th and 17th. We've been talking about it for a few weeks here. Can't put enough emphasis on how important this is for folks to get out and talk with others. Focuses on education, the agronomy of hemp. This is something you need to be in attendance if you're interested in growing hemp or being in the hemp industry here in the Midwest.
Absolutely. We're really excited. We had done a small symposium back in March, and just to kind of elaborate on that, we're expanding on that. We decided that the one day and the hours that we did was too short. So we needed a bigger venue and wanted to expand it to 2 days, which we're finding we probably could have done 3 days. And then we wanted to bring in some booths, and we wanted a diverse trade show floor, not just saturated with nothing but CBD. We wanted to bring in, we've got some equipment retailers, we've got some biomass retailers, we've got a couple labs who I believe are coming in. So we've got I'm really excited about the diversity of the trade show floor. So please check out that map that is posted. It's updated frequently as we get a new booth sold. We do have a few spots left. I think there's like 4 booths left. So if you want to do that, please jump on that ASAP.
Now, this is one full day of hemp agronomy and one full day of business and regulatory issues. And again, people can get more information on this by going to the website hempatthecrossroads.com. That's all spelled out, hempatthecrossroads.com. They can also get the link from the MidwestHempCouncil.com website. So you can go check it out and make sure you attend the proper day for you. Or honestly, the proper days would be both days, I assume.
Yes. Yeah. I can't say one day is more important than the other, because even if you're more focused as a retailer or whatnot, it would be nice to have some thorough knowledge of who you're buying your crop from, right? And what they have to go through, and help to understand maybe a better business relationship there as well. So I highly recommend both days for everyone. And this isn't even focused more necessarily to people who are already in the industry. This could be a learning experience for someone who just doesn't understand what hemp is, the trials and tribulations that we're going through. So this is definitely an event for everyone, not just people who have a vested interest.
And certainly not just people in Indiana as well. We know we've got a lot of people coming from outside the state, and we talk to them on a daily basis. We talk to them on the podcast. Everybody's looking forward to the Hemp at the Crossroads Education and Trade Show.
Yeah, and we're also trying to do our best on the Business Regulatory Day to give updates from the other states, just to make sure that we do. I mean, we are the Midwest Hemp Council, so we want to encompass all of the Midwest as well. So we're going to do our best on the Business and Regulatory Day to make sure that everyone is included.
Okay. And once again, we're speaking with Michelle Linus, Midwest Hemp Council Program Assistant. Michelle, anything else we need to know for this week's podcast?
Just stay tuned. We've got more events lining up, not necessarily that we're putting on, but definitely events that we will be attending and that we would promote for attendance. So stick with us and stay tuned.
All right. And again, everybody can get more information, as we always say, on the MidwestHempCouncil.com website. We try to keep that up to date as efficient as possible. So go there and check out those updates. Michelle, thanks again, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jason.
That is going to do it for our show this week. We certainly hope you've been both entertained and informed. And if you'd like more information, go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, to find out how you can get involved in the many facets of hemp in Indiana, as well as the entire Midwest. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. We'll see you next time, everybody.